My first guest in this edition is Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. He joins us frequently to discuss the latest developments in the debate over global warming, separating climatological fact from fiction. Today we want to get his reaction to House Speaker Nancy Pelosi in China, suggesting that every household in America needs to be open to a full inventory. And Dr. Ball, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thanks, Greg. And as I always say, thanks for the opportunity.
Well, in the context of her comments, it seemed as though that Speaker Pelosi might have been suggesting that it's up to everyone to be responsible for their impact on the environment. Others, though, say what this really leads to is government oversight into how you consume energy and just about every other facet of life. How do you read it?
Well, no, I think that the second assessment is the correct one, because what she's saying is that you've got to be socially responsible as a citizen, and we're going to determine what that is, and that therefore means that if you are not socially responsible, we can come in and make you socially responsible. So it's a very clever game, and all it is imposing political will.
And are we going to see this as a creeping effect, or all of a sudden will Americans wake up and see that the government can order them to do pretty much whatever they want to?
I think that that's what's amazing is the extent to which the Obama government and the Democrats have done that within the few days and months that they've been in office. And one of the things that's disturbing is that you see these bills going through, and we hear all the argument about the politicians not reading them before they vote on them, and we heard Henry Waxman's incredible admission that he's the author of the cap-and-trade bill, and yet he hadn't read it. He just relied on the scientists. And yet, when you go and read these things, the devil's in the detail, and so much of it is directed to increasing government control in a variety of ways.
We're talking with Dr. Tim Ball, who taught climatology at the University of Winnipeg. And Dr. Ball, what do you see as potentially the government's standard for intruding or making adjustments in our day-to-day lives? Is it all speculation at this point, or do we see precedents set in other places where this could be a serious reality?
Well, I think that one of the things that's fascinating about what's going on is that other countries, I mean, if what Obama was doing was truly new, that had not been tried before, you say, okay, fine, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt, you got elected and so on. But when you see that countries like Britain and Europe in general have tried these things and they failed, and when you get former communist countries telling you that you're moving away from capitalism, that's disturbing. And of course, what you see is China now bailing out the U.S. and with Speaker Pelosi over there talking about climate change. It's really ironic, because the Chinese have already stated their position that they're what's more important to them is the economy, and so they're going to push ahead with that.
So what do you sense is the Chinese reaction to the U.S. voluntarily putting ourselves in this position to regulate our energy consumption in the way that we are? Do they see us as a trailblazer, or are they laughing all the way to the bank here?
Oh, they're laughing all the way to the bank, and there was a major difficulty, and I worked with Chinese climatologists where they were trying to improve yields in northern and cold climates, because they understood that the ability to feed yourself surplus food is surplus time, and that's the basis of any economy. And they see the world very, very differently than the rest of us. So when Pelosi's over there talking to them about climate and climate change and environment, her perception of it is not their perception of it. Their view is that everything on the planet is put there to improve or to help the human condition. And you see that in their markets, where everything that crawls or moves is available to eat. And so they're laughing all the way to the bank for several reasons. One is they've already, because Kyoto excluded them from having to achieve any reduction in CO2 targets. And they're building two coal burning plants a week. And by the way, they're building plants that are much more efficient and reducing the amount of material coming from them. They're far more efficient. And they're also constructing 50 nuclear plants. They're way ahead of the U.S. But then the great irony is that they're also very cleverly using that portion of Kyoto which said that the developed nations have to provide funding for the underdeveloped nations to help them cope with climate change. So here's the nation that's going to end up holding most of the American debt and moving ahead of them in terms of economy and development and energy, essentially asking for money from the U.S. to help them cope with climate change. And one of the things that's particularly interesting is that the Obama government cap and trade is being seen as $625 billion source of revenue. It's a tax. And that is going to seriously impinge on the U.S. economy, make it less competitive. So you've got this irony that reduction of income for the economy will help China become even more competitive and put the U.S. even less competitive. So China wins every which way with this issue, and they're just outmaneuvering the world because they see things very differently. Unless we start to think or understand how they think, we're going to lose every time.
You mentioned a moment ago, Dr. Ball, that there's a leader of a former communist country who's very outspoken against this global warming movement. I'm sure you're referring to Václav Klaus of the Czech Republic. But we've also seen a major appointment by President Sarkozy in France of a global warming skeptic. How significant is that?
Yeah, well, and of course, one of the things that I've spoken about for several years now is the degree of bullying that has gone on by the extreme environmentalists and the proponents of human CO2 causing warming. And the tails always wag the dog, but what you got now is the flea on the hair on the tails wagging the dog. And when you get corporations afraid to speak out and sort of just cowed before this group, and politicians, of course, the same way. So when you get Klaus has been absolutely remarkable in speaking out against it, and of course, as he pointed out very clearly in a speech I heard him give in New York, I've just gone through 70 years of communism. I don't want any more of that. And to use climate change and the environment as an excuse to bring in communism, I'm going to fight that to the death. We're seeing more and more governments based on two things. One is the fact that the world's cooling, and the other is the economy. And they're saying, no, sorry, we're concerned about it, but we've got more immediate problems with the economy and jobs, which, of course, resonates with the public. And so you see Sarkozy appointing Claude Allègre. Now, what's interesting about him is not only is he a scientist, but he's a socialist. And normally what's been happening with the climate change issue, and this is part of the bullying, is that if you speak out against human causing it, you're immediately pigeonholed as right-wing or conservative. If you're for it, you're left-wing and socialist. And I know an awful lot of scientists that disagree with the science of it, but are afraid to say anything because they're socialists and they don't want to get pigeonholed as right-wing conservatives. And it's that degree of bullying, people being afraid to speak out. And so hopefully with Sarkozy doing what he's doing, and here you've got a socialist saying, no, the science is completely wrong, and he's going to be there hopefully at Copenhagen and the upcoming conferences on climate. And by the way, one of the big pushes, Greg, is that that conference in Copenhagen is critical to them because it also means that if they don't make progress there, Kyoto, which is due to die in 2012, will probably disappear.
Just a minute left in our conversation with Dr. Tim Ball, former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. And so, Dr. Ball, we've talked about two different trends here. Some are more skeptical now of the whole global warming movement. We see a lot of leaders, obviously, in the United States that are moving in the opposite direction. So which way is the balance shifting?
Well, the balance is shifting, and I don't think it's important. Well, it's important in the sense of what the politicians are doing and what they're implementing. As I said, when you look at the cap and trade and all the rest of it, but in terms of the public, that is shifting. And you see it in the polls. I mean, the Pew Center poll, and they're not exactly right wing, showed that global warming was 30th on the list of people's concerns, and part of the reason is not only the economy, but as the cooling has occurred, when people have challenged it, they said, "Oh well, no, the cooling is caused by warming." Well, that's so illogical that even people that don't understand the science are saying, "Hang on a minute here." And so, in the overall view of the public, there is significant shifting going on, and hopefully, at some point, that will make the politicians listen. But of course, it won't if you're an ideologue, if you're pushing a particular political agenda, regardless of the facts or the public view of things.
Dr. Ball, we'll have to call time there, unfortunately. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Well, thanks again.
Dr. Tim Ball is a former professor of climatology at the University of Winnipeg. This is Dateline Washington.